Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to the Lodge Kohler Kickoff Show.
Bring it in on three. One, two, three.
It's Friday night. Time for an in-depth and unique spotlight on a member of your green and gold.
Ready?
Now, live from the Leaps and Bounds Cafe at Lodge Kohler in Green Bay, here's the big unit, Bill Michaels.
Welcome to the program. We are broadcasting live here at Leaps and Bounds. We're inside Lodge Kohler, and it's the Lodge Kohler Kickoff. We are presented by our friends at Lodge Kohler, also Hupie and Abraham. I am Bill Michaels. We'll be joined shortly by the linebacker for the Green Bay Packers. Oren Burks is going to be here. Special guest tonight, our buddy from NFL Sirius Radio, and our good guy Mike Clemens is here alongside, and Gianni is here from Lodge Kohler. First of all, welcome, Mike. How you doing, buddy?
Good, pal. Usually I'm in the car driving back to Milwaukee when the show's on.
Yeah.
But since we got Monday Night Football, we got practice again tomorrow. So I thought, hey, we just finished up talking to the coordinators, and I wanted to come by and stop by and see these folks. This is such a great – this place is beautiful. It's really a nice setup. The lounge, people trying out the different wines and getting ready for a game weekend.
Thank
it's
you.
Outstanding.
It's a great facility. It's a great place. And Gianni is here to let everybody know what we're going to be imbibing in tonight a little bit for the Fireside Chat with Oren Burks. How you doing?
I'm great.
It's getting colder, man.
Yeah, it is.
It's going to be cold Monday night.
Yeah, it is going to be cold.
About 38 degrees, but clear and crisp out there. I was just talking to Sean Menenga, special teams coordinator. So he's wondering how Mason Crosby and J.K. Scott will go, you know, and so you know what? They practice a couple of days a week over inside Lambeau Field just to get the feel for that cold weather out there.
Yeah. Well, maybe we've got something to take the edge off, I guess, a little bit once it starts to get a little bit colder.
Yeah.
So what'd you bring us today?
So welcome, everybody. We have tonight another of our beautiful wine from Leaps and Bounds. This time is Sauvignon Blanc, the most important white grape of Bordeaux and also very famous in Sancerre. And also in other areas of France, they call it Fumé. When you hear Fumé Blanc or Pouilly Fumé, it's also Sauvignon Blanc. Tonight we have the Dry Creek. Please taste it.
That's what it's here for, people.
Yeah. So it's a beautiful wine, too, with the rated wine list that we have here at Leaps and Bounds and in general at Kohler Corporation or Tavern in the Sky upstairs included. It's a lot of herbal flavors. You can feel like green apples. Like usually, I feel a lot of like green tomatoes. I think it's one of the most finest wines that we have here in Leaps and Bounds.
There you go. And you can get it down here. You can get other wines upstairs. You have a full
Absolutely,
wine selection
yes.
up there, and a lot of different specials. A lot of great food.
Yeah, we have a lot of great food upstairs. I will do this a little more with into seafood, but we have great special with haddocks or with cod or with walleye. We also have I always talk about the grill sturgeon because it's one of my favorites, and this is the only place who serves sturgeon. That's what I would recommend.
Enjoy yourself. There you go. Gianni, thank you so much. Cheers
thank
to you.
Everybody.
Okay. Appreciate it. There you go.
Well,
Gianni
done.
Joining
Victory.
Us for a couple of minutes. Good stuff. And we go ahead and try it if you know you enjoy it. You get bottles of it and more draft of it over here at Leaps and Bounds. Mike, you were talking about the coordinators chatting a little while ago. And there's a lot of different things to this game and to this team right now. First of all, they ran the football successfully when they didn't have Davante Adams. Davante Adams made it very clear he's not going to be playing in this game. And it's a severe injury. We heard Kevin Harlan today.
Turf toe
from Westwood One say the update is that it's probably more severe than they originally thought, which now leads you to believe how long is he going to be out? And do you make a deal? Do you go out and get somebody? Do you trust what you have? They use the tight ends heavily down in Dallas. They use the running backs heavily down in Dallas. But what I thought was Matt LaFleur morphed and Aaron Rodgers morphed into what they needed to be to get a win. They didn't just say, here's our offense, we're going to run it regardless. They said, okay, we don't have this, let's go do this. And if they're going to stop the run, then let's try this. And if they try to stop the tight ends, well, then let's go ahead and run the football. It seemed like that offense really morphed into many different things.
Well, isn't it interesting? Aaron throws for over 400 yards on a Thursday night and he loses to the Eagles. He throws for a little over 200 yards and he gets a win against the Dallas Cowboys. And they use Aaron Jones, who had 19 carries for 107 yards and then about seven catches for 75 yards. And so they made Aaron Jones the playmaker. And I think Aaron knew that's probably the way they were going to go on offense. After Devontae Adams, the next guy you want to get the ball in the hands to is Aaron Jones. And Matt LaFleur, he's trying to run an outside zone scheme where the running backs are going outside the tackles. But the way they saw how speedy those Cowboy linebackers were, they decided to go more up the middle with an inside zone scheme, and that's where the money was and success. So Aaron Jones ends up scoring four touchdowns in this game. By the way, in one of them, when he was running away from the cornerbacks, the speedy Byron Jones, remember he waved bye-bye to him?
Yeah.
Aaron Jones told us he got fined $10,000 today. Unsportsmanlike conduct.
So you can't have fun.
It's the no
without
fun
costing you money.
Yeah, that cost. I said, you know, but you know that you got a picture out of that,
right?
You know, we could take that print, you could autograph it,
yeah.
And maybe get the 10 grand
right.
Back or something.
Go to an autograph signing, make it into a canvas or something.
Yeah.
Joining us here now, speaking of linebackers, you don't want to wave bye-bye to the guy. I don't think anybody ever has.
But no, not a good idea.
Oren Burks of the Green Bay Packers is here with us, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to say hi to Oren, how you doing, man?
Doing well.
Anybody ever wave bye-bye to you?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I'm catching up to him.
Just checking. So I want to start out by asking, because we talk about the fun that Aaron Jones had, but it seems like defensively you guys are just enjoying yourselves right now. It's a different – I don't want to say it's a completely different attitude, but it seems like it's a different attitude, different feel, different camaraderie right now, right?
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of energy around just making plays as a defense. So we're celebrating each other when those big plays happens, and it's contagious, man. When you have a lot of energy like that, guys like Jair, Zadarius, the Smith brothers up front, it's fun to play with.
So Zadarius and Preston are doing, their press conferences together, almost as if they're just kind of feeding off of one another. But one of the things we learned a couple of weeks ago here on the program, as a matter of fact, that, you know, they're taking defensive guys. You guys are going to Chicago. You guys are going to dinners. You guys are doing all this different stuff together. They're saying, we're staying together. We're going to be that group. How much of a difference has that made, in your opinion?
That makes all the difference. I mean, I feel like when you have a brotherhood and you look to your right and your left and there's guys that you actually like, then you've had that bond off the field that goes a long ways.
I know you guys went out a couple weeks ago after Zadarius was voted defensive captain here in town. And then after the Eagles game, did you guys go to Chicago or some of the guys go to Chicago to get together?
There was a couple guys that went to Chicago just to kind of get away from it for a little bit. But I felt like it was a necessary trip to kind of refresh your brain a little bit.
Well, you sort of had like a bye week, you know, because you're
mini bye. Yep.
But that's a new level of team and accountability and friendship and talking it out in between, just, you know, giving each other, teasing each other like that. That's something I haven't. That's a unity that's new lately around here.
Yeah, it's definitely refreshing. I mean, the guys, like I said, there's just a different energy around the team this year, especially defensively. We're having fun making plays, and it's the energy that's contagious.
The defense, the only, we can say, Achilles heel that has been problematic has been defense against the run. And at times, how difficult is it to play the run when you're really only rushing a couple of linemen? You're playing with a lot of guys outside. Linebackers are standing up. Safeties are coming up in the box and almost playing linebacker at times. How tough is it when you're committing to one thing to then turn around and stop the other?
I just feel like we're playing a lot of one-backer defense. So, obviously, there's going to be a little bit of bleeding on the run. But I feel like we have a lot of different looks that kind of hurt offenses. So, it may be our Achilles heel right now, but it's going to be a strength later on because we have so many looks that they're not going to be knowing where guys are rushing from, that kind of thing. And I'm definitely confident that it's going to get a lot better.
We got into the comparison today because you weren't here back in 2010, 2011 when they won the Super Bowl, but you had a guy like Charles Woodson who ran things. You had an up-and-comer, would have been a Hall of Famer, and Nick Collins playing safety. Tremont Williams was a young guy on that team at the time. Sam Shields, he had a young Clay Matthews. Young A.J. Hawk had his best season. B.J. Raji up front. And you look
Colin
at that
Jenkins.
Colin Jenkins was another one. You had big bodies in Howard Green and company, but you had probably three or four legitimate Pro Bowlers on that defense. And I remember Ted Thompson saying, you need three or four Pro Bowlers to be a Super Bowl-caliber defense. you start looking at some of the guys in this defense. How many Pro Bowlers do you think could be there? I mean, Za'Darius, Jair, yep. Kenny Clark. You can start going through a list of guys.
Absolutely. And like I said, like that energy that we bring as a defense, it's contagious. And they're playing at an extremely high level. It's fun to watch those guys get after it, especially Jair. I mean, his one-on-one, if you watch the film, it's one of the best in the league, I feel like. So, I don't know. It's just cool to be around.
What was the objective? Talk about Jair for a minute, but what was the objective? Was it just to keep Amari Cooper in front of him and just say, just don't let this guy hurt you continuously over the top? Because he had a ton of yards and a couple of touchdowns, yeah. But it wasn't like he ran the offense, so to speak. He wasn't a complete Achilles heel.
Yeah, I feel like one-on-one, Jair can match up with anyone in the league. So we were confident in that matchup and minimizing the big play gains. So that's always a part of our game plan, is minimizing those big-time plays. But he's up for the challenge anytime, and we're just kind of feeding off of that. And I don't know, just it's great to know that you can trust a guy like that to make those plays. So,
how are you feeling, by the way?
I'm feeling good. Yeah. Good to be back on the field.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I'm feeling really confident. So just got to keep.
I'll tell you, buddy, my heart broke when you guys are playing the Texans. And I don't know what it is about Joe Webb, but that's one of the hardest running quarterbacks I've ever seen. I mean, he's like a bus or something. There's just something about him. And I saw you break down and trying to, because he's cutting up the middle. And you know, right as that happened, and you suffered the pec injury, you know, were you kind of stunned how much power that guy runs for at being a quarterback?
Yeah, it was kind of a mix of the sudden juke outside, and there was a lineman that kind of pushed me on the back, so it was like that jerking motion at the same time.
You put your left arm on, right?
Yeah, so it's kind of a reaction thing, but it's part of the game.
It's one of those things where the minute I saw it, I thought, oh, that can't be good. Yeah. that was a tough play. But you know, are there certain running backs or quarterbacks, even receivers, there's some guys that just somehow they run hard, right? It's kind of deceiving, isn't it?
A little bit. I mean, around the league, I feel like you're in the league, so the guys run pretty hard.
They're all that way.
Yeah, but there are certain guys that have that extra kind of pop, that explosiveness to kind of get to the second level. That's a little bit different. But in terms of impact, I definitely think, like, everybody around the league, they kind of run hard. So
you faced one of the best last week in Zeke Elliott, and of course he cracked a couple. I was surprised to see him on the bench though for a couple of series in the second quarter. I think they brought in Pollard. Is that just a different package that the Cowboys like to bring in? I was surprised that they weren't using Zeke and keeping the ball away from your offense.
Yeah, they were trying out the rookie back. I mean, running back is a tough position. It's earned yards on every single play, so I can understand he got a little bit tired, but I don't know. It's not our problem to fix.
Yeah.
Now that's a guy though in Zeke that runs hard. Yeah. I mean, he's a bulky body. There's some guys. You look at a guy like Aaron. Aaron is a guy that's very. You don't get a chance to hit him square up. He'll give you a shoulder. He'll give you a thigh. He'll spin out.
He's
of
slippery.
Things. You got to kind of drag him down. Zeke will try to run you over, and he doesn't have a problem doing it because he's got the bulk and the ability to do so. I'm going to go ahead and take a quick break. We are broadcasting live here at Lodge Kohler. We are here just a stone's throw away from Lambeau Field. If you want to come on over and say hi, please feel free to do so. Talking with Oren Burks, Mike Clemens from NFL Sirius Radio alongside. I'm Bill Michaels. We have got more of the Lodge Kohler kickoff right after this. Welcome. It's the Lodge Kohler kickoff. We are broadcasting live here at Lodge Kohler. We are in Green Bay, just across the street from Lambeau Field. If you want to stop over and say hi, Oren Burks, middle linebacker for the Packers, is here. So is Mike Clemens from NFL Sirius Radio. We were talking about this matchup with Detroit. You guys are sitting at 4-1, so it's a big game to keep kind of the momentum going. Obviously, you want to get a good head of steam going into the Oakland game, another home game here at Lambeau Field, a Monday night game. But this is kind of for the top spot right now in the division. I mean, this is a division that nobody's under 500 in this division, which is throughout football is odd. This is kind of another dogfight for you guys, isn't it?
Absolutely. We're excited for the division matchup. And like you said, it's for the North. It's for all the chips.
Well, the other thing I think about is you got a first-year coach, and there was more national media in there today. I mean, you guys have created an excitement, and – you know, they're still working out things a little bit on offense, even though they're putting up these great scoring drives. But, you know, the identity, the story has been the surprise of the defense this year. No surprise to your guys. Talk about how much a difference has been, not only with the free agents you brought in, but Mike Pettine being here for a second year and being retained. Because Aaron Rodgers said he was ecstatic when he found out last January that the new coach was going to keep this defensive coordinator.
Yeah, I definitely think that was a big move for the team. Just the familiarity of having the same defense, having the same coordinator, especially for me being a rookie coming in, you learn the defense and you don't want to have to start all over again, basically. But it's nice to know that you're confident in the defense. You know it in and out. Blake has been a great job running the show in the middle. And guys, I don't know, we're just really confident this year in the scheme and what our abilities are, and just kind of playing to the tendencies.
A lot of those position coaches are younger guys, but your coach, Oliver Dowdy, is one of the more veterans. Talk about him and how he helps you, not only on the field when I see you guys working on the drills, you know, individual drills, but prepping during the week and end game.
Yeah, one thing I say about KO, he's a great teacher. He was with the Redskins in the past, and I kind of grew up in the Virginia area, so met him through the draft process and all that. But I feel like the way that he breaks down our scheme and into bite-sized pieces really helped myself and even Blake. Like he was saying, like, things are a lot clearer going into this year. So we're allowed to just play fast and know our scheme and just go from there.
See, I'm so naive, Bill, because I just think it's just some magic decision up there from the general manager, and then the third round we take this kid out of Vanderbilt and all that, and then you find out that this position coach has had his eye on this guy
right
for years.
There's
before
a reason, yeah.
And that's shocking how that all works out that
speaking
way.
Speaking of that, I mean, talk about your season last year versus this year, because last year, combines, draft, workouts, rookie camps, the inundation of defenses, meeting everybody, getting acclimated to the pro life, then the season comes to an end. Talk about the difference between coming in last year versus coming in this year.
Yeah, just confidence. I feel like knowing where you're supposed to be, like the little things, like kind of knowing the flow of even just practice schedule and what to expect when there has going to be open practices, that kind of thing. That definitely just weighs on you mentally. So being a second-year guy, you kind of know what to expect when OTAs, the tempo of things, and you're allowed to kind of flow through things a lot smoother than you were that rookie year. So
do you – you know, as a guy that was a rookie, you talk to the rookies when they come in and say, "Hey, man, you'll get it. Don't get overwhelmed by it, because there's a lot to absorb. Not only when you talk about practices and meetings and such, but just where you're going to live, how to get to the stadium, time to get here, how to get through the labyrinth of hallways, and who upstairs is going to help you out. You know, and if you need to go to somebody to say, "Hey, I need this, I need that, I need a bank, I need routing numbers, I need checks," you know, all that stuff, real life stuff.
Yeah, I definitely think it's a blessing to have vets that help out with that, because I had a lot of guys that I leaned on last year, so I try to do the same for the rookies that came in this year. So it's all a learning process. You're trying to figure out life, and it's a blast, man. Once you get out there on game day, you're like, all right, this is worth it, man. And all the struggles, the hot days in camp and all that, it's worth it when it comes out there to Lambeau and you see so many people out there cheering you on.
The inundation of the defense for you guys to absorb it in a second year, you talked about your comfort level, but then you've got veterans that come in that have to get it and get it right away, and guys that are calling. I mean, Blake's calling, like you said, and then you got leaders like Zadarius and Preston that come in. What has it meant to have the young mix of guys like yourself and Jair and Kevin, and then to get the guys like Adrian, and to get the guys like the Smith brothers to come in and say, okay, we're going to anchor this thing. And then not only do they come in, they don't know it, and they learn it, and then they say, you follow us.
Yep.
You know what I mean? How different is that? Because you've already been here, done that.
Yeah, I definitely say they're just really true pros. Like when you watch the way that they carry themselves on and off the field in terms of preparation, the way they handle the playbook, and it's cool to watch because you have a great example of what you can be striving for later on in your career. So it's a good stepping stone. Even like you said, this is their first year in the defense, and they're picking it up like they've had years and years of it. So it's around the league, you'll find out that football is football. So there's certain things that they kind of picked up from past teams and techniques and things like that. But when you can kind of put it all together and have that communication across the board, that's when you're playing extremely great defense.
There was a safety in the NFL, played for the Redskins. And he said, you know, this is a pretty good team, and I'm surprised we're not doing better, because they had Joe Theismann at quarterback. They had a guy named John Riggins at, you know, at halfback. And they had a good team, some veterans on their defense. And then they brought in a new coach named Joe Gibbs, and they wanted to win 3 Super Bowls over the next decade or so. And that safety's name is Mark Murphy.
Yep.
He's got an office upstairs. And the thing that I found most interesting is that I'm trying to get a feel for Matt LaFleur. Because, you know, off to the side, briefly, nice guy. And you can tell he knows his X's and O's. He plays the cards a little bit close to his vest. But has there got it? Can you give us a sense that are there times when either a team meeting or occasionally a one-on-one with a player that you get a sense of what this guy is all about? Aaron Rodgers called him a grinder. So, you know, he's always there. That's one thing that's changed inside the building. What is your sense of this guy?
I would definitely say that he has a standard for what he expects, and he knows what it's supposed to look like. So he does voice that very, very firmly, and he holds us accountable to the team that we know we're capable of being. So, like I said, like the energy in the building, like it was different when he walked in. There was, I don't know, just like the little things that happen, and he listens to us in terms of like break time and like what we need to kind of be at our best. So I really appreciate that he takes that player's input, but he also he's like, I'm the head man in charge, so like this is what it's going to be. I'll listen to you, but it's not going to be the end all be all. So there's a good balance, I feel.
So there's a way to do things. He stresses that.
Yep.
He'll keep coming after it. I mean, you can be at an OTA, and if Jimmy Graham makes a wrong cut, he's out there in the walking boot with the Achilles running up to the guy and say, Jimmy, no, this is not the way we're going to do it. And another coach might say, well, I've got position coaches for this. Or we'll talk about that in the film room. This guy comes right up to that player's face and says, no, we got to do it this way. And and it's not in an angry, embarrassing way, but the corrections are made right away. And that's it. But I think as a player, you just want to be clearly communicated. It's like, what do you need from us? Which way do you want us to do that? And maybe that's some of the things, one of the biggest changes, huh?
Absolutely.
Marquez, Manny, Aaron, all have been over here. And one of the things I found so interesting was that, like you said, he knows he's the coach.
Yep.
You know, I mean, there's no doubt about that. But he really wants to know what you think and how comfortable it is to run something and whether or not it's going to work. Because I think Aaron said it best was he said there was a time we just couldn't get it. We just didn't get it. And he said, okay, let's just scrap that for later. We won't worry about running that. We'll save it for another day. Does he listen to you on stuff like that to where he'll say, let's run it this way, do it this way, and if you're just like, this just isn't comfortable. This just, I don't think it's going to work, that he'll then be flexible enough to say, okay, let's figure something else out.
Yeah, we try to rep it out a lot in practice and try to get those tougher looks. Like, we could very easily kind of go kick cookie cutter and do some looks in practice that are easy to cover, but we always try to stress our defense. And if it doesn't look good during the week, he's like, all right, we're going to throw that out and adjust. He makes a lot of adjustments on the fly. So he expects us to be a pros about that as well. You got to be on top of the checks and everything like that. So.
Let's do this. We'll take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll talk inside stuff. We'll talk, you know, I want to know who's nasty in the weight room. Because, you know, you're out there working out now because you got to get back into it and everything. I want to find out about guys in the weight room. Coaches, too. Coaches get competitive, too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We want to talk a little bit about that. Mike Lemons alongside. Also, we've got our buddy Oren Burks here, middle linebacker for the Green Bay Packers. This show is brought to you by our friends at Lodge Kohler, Hupi and Abraham. Also, we've also got the Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame as well as a nice sponsor. So thanks to them. We got more of the Lodge Kohler kickoff coming up right after this. It is the Lodge Kohler kickoff. We are broadcasting live at Lodge Kohler, brought to you by our friends at Hupi and Abraham, the Green Bay Legends Cruise as well, Lammy Sports Management. Hey, don't forget the Green Bay Legends Cruise, a great roster this year with guys like Blake Martinez, George Koontz, Leroy Butler is going to be there, Doug Evans, Mark Tauscher, James Jones, Earl Dotson, Nick Collins, all just to name a few. There's going to be a whole bunch of guys on that cruise. You can check it out at greenbaylegendscruise.com. That is greenbaylegendscruise.com. You can also find us on social media. You can find us at Lodge Kohler Kickoff on Facebook, Lodge Kohler Kickoff on Instagram, and Kohler Kickoff on Twitter. Mike Lemons alongside from NFL Sirius Radio, linebacker for the Packers.
Leroy Butler. Now, isn't that the guy that invented the Lambeau Leap?
You can't do it on the boat, though.
I can't do it on the
just
boat.
Just throw it out there.
That's a good idea. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Hey, where's Bill?
That's the Lambo Splash is what that would be.
But I'll tell you what. So that's like 25 years ago. And one of the things that's different about the 2019 Packers, especially on defense, big plays. And they started doing that, especially in that game against the Broncos. This unit gets together. They're in the end zone. And they share it. They share it with the fans.
Yeah.
And I asked Za'Darius about that because he'd come up with a big play. And I said, that's different. He said, I actually went to Coach LaFleur and said, hey, if you're worried about third down and videos up on the scoreboard and getting the fans into it, Let us do this stuff. And they have. And it's made a difference. There's something about big plays and following up with a little bit of swagger and getting your fans into it. Right, Oren?
Absolutely. Anytime you can celebrate as a team, that goes a long ways. And it carries into the momentum of the offense taking over on downs. And it's just fun to watch.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's just got to add to the home field advantage to get that momentum over your opponent. I mean, there's parts to that. I'll tell you what, no question, you got Matt LaFleur saying that this is something I want out of Lambeau Field. You've got Aaron Rodgers calling for it. They tried with the foghorn. That was a little silly. People said, you know, don't force it on us. But the crowds are louder, and it helps to come out with wins.
Yeah.
And week after week, whether you're on the road in Chicago. God, that was a brilliant game, by the way. I love that game. But this, you can feel it building that way, and you get 78,000 people behind you. You're feeling it down the sidelines, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The energy flows through us. I mean, anytime you can look in the crowd and everybody's going berserk, you know, just yelling their brains out, it's just a lot of support. And when you get on the field, that energy carries into the play. So keep it up.
Is there a each week, is there something choreographed that just in case, like you're coming home on Monday night, prime time, everybody's going to be watching. Oren Burks fades back in the middle. They don't see him. You jump up, pick off Matthew Stafford, running back for six. Is there something prepared for Oren Burks?
Yeah, we always joke around with turnovers and stuff. Is have a plan. That's the saying in the locker room. So I'm not going to spill the beans or anything.
No, I want to be as surprised as everybody else. Exactly. I get it. We were kind of wondering, is some of this stuff choreographed, or is this just a bunch of guys saying, get over here, or how, you know?
It's kind of that incentive to make the big play, because you know, all right, I planned for something to happen. You're speaking it into existence, and it's a confidence piece, because you're expecting it to happen. So, like Zedarius, he's going to have two or three in the game, so he's like, all right, I got to have some antics ready to go.
Yeah.
So,
okay. Yeah.
That'd be kind of fun to see on the schedule in the locker room. You know, when it talks about weight room, practice, lunch, special teams meeting, celebration meeting.
Yeah, it's just choreographed. You know,
right, exactly.
You got somebody in there going, okay, one, two, three. I did want to ask you, because what people tend to forget is that you guys do a lot of stuff behind the scenes, and it's not just meetings where you're sitting there with your chin on your hand. When we were back in the days playing, it was, you know, guys in the weight room. That was always the gathering spot. If it wasn't the locker room, it was the weight room. That's where guys hung out, and you were pushing each other and challenging each other, and you were charting, and, you know, that goes on. You build a lot of camaraderie in the weight room.
Absolutely. Going even back to high school days, that was where football was really made, because you only have a certain amount of games and practices that you're out there on the field, but you pretty much live in the weight room, so that's very much the case even at this level.
Which coaches get after it?
Oh, man, all of them, honestly. They all have kind of their own little workout plan. You see them in there right before practice. Mike Smith, outside linebackers coach, he's in there a good bit. A lot of the guys are cardio guys now, but I don't know. They get after it.
See, we used to have cardio guys were always the wide receiver coaches. They were always the special teams coaches. But you had a linebacker coach, a line coach. Those guys were throwing up weight. They were tossing up Smith machines. They were tossing up benches. And then it got competitive. And then you had offense against the defense. And before you knew it, everybody and their brother was inside that weight room in a small little area and standing on other benches and looking down and throwing towels. That's the kind of stuff that really kind of builds it, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And the camaraderie we talked about with players, it's the same thing with coaches. The more they get around each other and have fun and bond away from the work, really. So that builds a lot of friendship and trust.
That's an aspect, though, of athletes, particularly NFL football players, that isn't talked about much in the media. I mean, we cover training camp and OTAs and all the draft, all those kinds of things. But what we don't talk about is that when you guys take about a month off in January or February and you come back, it's all the individual work that goes into maintaining or improving in the year. You know, I think one guy, Jay Glazer, who works for Fox, started hanging out in some of those training centers out in Phoenix and got to know a lot of NFL players that way. Is that, though, kind of like a recipe for a chef? I mean, what you guys find in your routines that works, is that a competitive thing that you play those cards close to your vest, Oren?
I would say, like, the league is very small. Once you kind of get into it, you guys know another guy, and I train with a lot of guys back in Nashville that are in the league. So it's that kind of, like, inner group training that helps me a lot. Some guys like to do a lot of individual work, that kind of thing, but for me, I'm really competitive, so I know I'm going to give the best out of myself if I'm with other guys that are really pushing the limits. So it's kind of that fine balance, but when you get back to the season, you're like, all right, this is especially closer to OTAs and that kind of thing, that we're doing a lot more as a team. Like, all right, I might go work out with Blake or somebody else like that, and that builds camaraderie in that sense. But I don't know, any major city that you go to, there's guys that are training. You just kind of have to find out where they are and just network that way.
Before you leave in the off season, does a trainer like hand you a card and say, okay, here's where you got to be at when we come back and see you in 3 months or something? Do you get like assignments like that?
Yeah, there's a workout playbook that they kind of give to us, and it's kind of guidelines of, all right, this is kind of an off-ish week. This is recovery time. They kind of break it up like that, and then they give a specific workout. But for me, I don't know, you kind of go off of that, and then I have trainers that know me personally and what my strengths and weaknesses are, and we try to attack those in the offseason.
Diet, so, too?
Yeah, diet is a huge part.
I was just going to ask you, how do you diet down in Nashville?
Man, it's tough. It's tough.
I mean, let's be honest. Like, you know, tough. I mean, how do you not just walk the streets?
Some hot chicken and, man, it's tough. But
I've only been there in the years I worked with the team. And we'd go in, you'd go to the hotel, a couple steakhouses, yep. Scarlet Guys. You go to the game, you fly home. I've never had a chance to just kind of get there. And, boy, has that grown.
Yeah,
holy mackerel, really has Nashville grown down there, hasn't it?
Yeah.
That thing has gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. Went from some little, you know, kind of the country western style towns.
Yeah.
It's gotten
enormous. Yeah, you go down Broadway, you won't even recognize it from 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Even when I was a freshman coming in, some of the little pubs that were right near campus, they've turned into high rises, apartments, and things like that. So it's just crazy to see how the city has really grown.
I would assume then you're the headphone guy that's walking around with all different types of music because you hear it all in Nashville.
Yeah, you got to put a little country in there.
Okay.
It grew on me over the years, so definitely a Jason Aldean guy now.
Are you really?
That's good.
Yeah, okay.
That's good. Yeah. Now, are you a concert goer or are you just kind of...
I did a couple CMA Fest.
Okay.
I did more security. I was working security when I was in college, so that was a nice little gig. You go to a free concert and tell people you can't go past that barrier, so it worked out pretty cool.
Isn't it amazing just a color shirt?
Yeah.
Garner you respect.
Yeah, it was a bunch of football guys, too, so it looked pretty big and intimidating. So.
Now, when you were down there, did you hit the clubs and the pubs and try to listen to the up-and-comers and all the different music that was down there?
There's live music everywhere you go on Broadway, so you can literally just pick a bar and go in there, and somebody is extremely talented. So it's one of my favorite cities. That's pretty much home base for me during the off-season, and still have a lot of friends and family that are there in the area.
How proud were you then to have the draft there?
Yeah, that was really cool.
Were you like an ambassador with the NFL down there? I mean, because you're a guy that's already been there, done that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we had practice, so I was here and then flew in for the draft, kind of got in a little bit late, but to see how the city responded to it, there were so many people that came in for the draft, and it was just really awesome
to
see.
It looked unbelievable on TV.
Yeah.
I think they were talking about 500,000 people, and it was just such a great setting, going up and down the
Absolutely.
Street there. It was outstanding.
Yep.
Now, when you were growing up, who were you a fan of when it comes to NFL teams?
I was actually a Cowboys fan. I grew up outside of Virginia. A lot of people were Redskins fans, and had a core group that were we were rebels to say. So we liked the Cowboys, and then my dad, he grew up playing with Charles Haley in high school.
Right.
And then I really liked DeMarcus Ware growing up because I was like that outside defense end hybrid. So.
We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. Final segment, we're talking with middle linebacker Oren Burks, Mike Clemens alongside from NFL Sirius Radio. I'm Bill Michaels. We're also brought to you by our friends at Lammy Sports Management, the Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame, Under Warmer, and Hupie and Abraham. It's the Lodge Kohler Kickoff. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. We are glad to have you. It's the Lodge Kohler Kickoff here at Lodge Kohler in Green Bay. I'm Bill Michaels, Mike Clemens, alongside from NFL Sirius Radio. And the man that just pointed out he will be on that Green Bay Legends cruise, Oren Burks, is here with us, linebacker for the Packers. You ever taken a cruise before?
I haven't. I'm excited.
Okay.
Yep.
Get seasick at all?
No, I love the water.
Okay. Yep. Well, there's a difference between loving water and walking around on a boat that's kind of doing that all day long. Trust me. But after going on for 10 years, most of the time everybody does – one day worth of the Dramamine, and then you get your sea legs, and then you're off and running, so you're good to go. So it's a fun time. You know where your itinerary is?
I haven't really looked at it too detailed. But
we know it'll be warm. That's all.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was like, I'm in.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. We were sitting here talking off the air about Nashville and about the country music festivals and all the different stuff down there. Because you inundated yourself down there. So you said the CMA
CMA
is like a week long?
Yeah, it's a week long. People come in from all over the world. Enjoy some country music, and it's a good time.
So here in Wisconsin, it's the world's largest music festival, which is Summerfest. Now, you don't stay here in the summertime, do you, though?
I come back for a good bit, but when we have OTAs and everything like that. But
but that's right in the middle of their, you know, gone fishing time. You know, over the 4th of July, the last week of June. These cats are gone, man. Minicamp is over with, and they'll be back at the end of July.
That might be one of the things that you might want to put on a bucket list, because those are usually pretty good. Because you can see everything. You could see Matchbox 20 on one stage and Darius Rucker on the other.
13 different stages, you know, all kinds of, you know, new, old, great music. Great, good
awesome.
Time, too, man.
And you guys have an eclectic mix of music in the locker room, too, don't you?
Absolutely. It's always a fight to see who has the control of the aux over in the weight room. You got some country some days, some rock, some hip-hop, R&B, and it's a wide range.
So. Yeah.
Did you have music at practice at Vanderbilt, at football practice?
Yeah, we did. Our coach was big on music. We kind of had different days slotted to different genres, so that everybody kind of got a little bit of love. So
in other words, then, I mean, for this generation of players to go from no music, just crowd noise last year, to this, that's been a bit of a change, right?
Yeah, I definitely say it's a change. I feel
so it's what most of you guys 25 and under are used to from maybe your college days.
Yeah, it kind of depends on the program you come from, but I definitely would think that in practice, having a little bit of music, it helps the energy keep flowing. You're singing a tune that you like, and it gets you hyped up a little bit.
It does. I mean, you know, I'm used to football practice, right? And coaches yelling at guys and drills and all that kind of stuff. And then if they've got particularly if they've got a road game coming up, they pipe in this stuff like it sounds like you're in the back end of a commercial jet. You know, this like this. So to try and get these guys used to that environment where you're calling out signals, whether you're on offense or defense. But now LaFleur's got this thing, and one of the guys in the staff has worked up his act, you know, and so there's this gentle, steady, rhythmic music that's going on, a lot of popular songs that these guys know. And you can see like a guy like Kevin King or Jair Alexander today, too, in between drills, doing a little dancing, a little moving. It's no different than when you put on some music at the background at your offense. It makes your day go through, you know, that 2 hours and 20 minutes of practice goes by a little bit faster than that. But it really does add something to your attention span and getting through the day a little faster when you're out there at the practice field.
Absolutely. There's a lot of guys that kind of fight for getting their songs on the playlist.
So
he has like a long Spotify playlist. It's like, hey, yeah, put this song on there. So it's a lot
Maybe
of fun.
You suggest that you get like a DJ. You know, that you get some you get a thumper in there, and you know,
there's a guy named Joe. He's one of the assistants on the staff.
Yep.
And so, you know, Coach LaFleur calls him DJ Joe because he's got his laptop and he's got his songs like that. But I think it's kind of funny.
I'm talking staging it, lighting, the whole thing, man.
But when you guys are playing,
when
you guys are playing Wild Cherry and play that funky music, White Boy, you know, that's a 40-year-old song.
Right.
That's like when I was playing high school football, then playing Glenn Miller. You know, that's kind of weird. That's kind of weird like that.
Does anything compare to coming out of the tunnel on a Sunday or a Monday night?
Man, I definitely don't think so. The best fans in NFL, like I said, when you go through all those days of training and then you come out a Lambo and you see all those fans cheering for you, it's an awesome feeling.
How confident are you guys sitting at 4-1 right now? There's not a lot of people that thought you'd be at this point. There was the trade-offs of maybe if they lose to the Bears, they'll get the Vikings, maybe they get a home. But you guys have you surprised yourselves at how good you are or how fast you've kind of taken to this?
I would think the one thing that we don't do as a team is just be surprised by how well we're playing. I feel like we were building something this offseason, and we're getting a chance to showcase that on a big stage consistently for the last couple of weeks. So for us, it's just continue to get better. We know there's still some things that we need to improve on. So getting back to that in practice, and the long-term goal is still the same. We want to bring Lombardi back. So,
years ago, I was interviewing Aaron, and we were talking about the Super Bowl year and the run, and he said, you know, there's a couple things that went on that happened during the season, and you kind of felt it. You look back and go, okay, that was a moment in which we knew we came together. So far, sitting at 4-1, at what moment did you know, yeah, this has the ability to work and work well?
I think for us defensively, that first game against the Bears, the way that we came out, we played at a pretty high level. Guys
for four quarters.
Exactly.
That was it. It was almost like a chess match that night.
Yep.
But with each series and each down and each quarter, it's just like, keep it going.
Yep.
Keep it going. And, you know, you shut them down to 3 points on what was a epic night for them. 100th anniversary to host that night. Yep. And, you know, you put a spoiler on their party.
Absolutely. It was fun to watch.
This team you're going to face with the Lions in the second year of Matt Patricia as head coach, a defensive coordinator of the Patriots. Boy, if you guys saw the Lions and the Chiefs a couple weeks ago, the Lions are just – they remind me of Charles Tillman when he was with the Bears,
yeah,
punching the football out,
right,
two or three times. Now, you guys are right there with the Patriots in terms of turnover differential because your quarterback is just the best in the business at throwing picks. Your running backs are hanging on the ball, and you guys are getting the turnovers, usually, you know, but with the interceptions. But I'm sure that you guys are starting to think you might get to that point now where you could start punching out the football, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just watching film around the league, you kind of see that they really are ball aware and they get after the ball. So that's one of the things that we've been pushing even in the offseason is any strip attempt that we can have, even on Aaron or Jamal, those guys, and long runs in practice, that kind of thing. We want to get those reps in. And so they're used to receiving those reps, and we're used to giving them. So it kind of goes both ways, and it really can change a game. And that's what we've seen these last couple weeks.
Do you feel that this defense, we've seen you guys give up some yardage between the 20s, but do you just feel like you've got a turnover in you? Like it's there, it's ready. It's hard to explain. Charles Woodson used to say, okay, I'll go get one. It's time. You know, and he'd know a route was coming and jump a route, and then off he'd go. Or Tremont would do it back in the day, and still does, for that matter. Do you guys get that sense now that you're that type of defense, like, okay, we got this. We can give up some yardage, but we think we got one coming.
Yeah, I definitely feel like as you get into the game, you feel a different flow of the game, and that really helps in comfortability. You're like, all right, I've seen these plays on film, and that kind of comes back into that confidence, like, all right, I can be really aggressive in this situation. And it leads to big plays like you talked about. And I don't know, it's just a matter of stacking those plays and momentum within the defense, within the team, and continue to grow in that sense.
So. And, Oren, with J.K. Scott, as well as he's punting,
yep,
and like last week in Dallas, and the Cowboys are deep in their own territory, and I see your defense go first down, second down, contain, give them to 3 and 5, and then on third down, if your opponent's deep in their territory, Mike Patton's going to deal up somebody to get back there in that backfield, whether it's an outside linebacker, a stunt with one of you inside linebackers, or maybe even a corner getting in there. But you can almost feel a rhythm to your defense and how you're doing your business.
Yeah, everybody's in it. It's a lot of fun. There's a lot of mixing pieces, but the message is still the same. We're going to get after the ball. We're going to get after the quarterback and be disruptive.
Well, we're glad you joined us over here. We're glad everybody else in the house joined us here tonight as well. Monday night contest coming up between the Lions and the Packers over at Lambeau Field. Best of luck to you, man.
Thank you.
Feeling good? Healthy?
Yep,
you stay healthy?
Good.
Okay, good to see you again. And join us again over here this year. Mike, pleasure as always, pal.
Thank you, Bill.
You and I will see each other in the vehicle on Monday.
Yes,
back and forth.
Long night.
And thanks to everybody else for coming out tonight. We certainly appreciate you being here. Thanks to our friends at Lodge Kohler, Hupie and Abraham, Under Warmer, also Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame, the Green Bay Legends Cruise, and Lammy Sports Management. Don't forget, go ahead and find us over on all the social medias as well. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Instagram and on Twitter. It is time for us to go. Have a great night, everybody. See ya!
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.